mostly I tell them not to invest in the country, but I actually, there are always opportunities where you can actually make money on a one-off basis. But as a country, India is an utter disaster. It will fall apart.
Hi, Jayant. How are you doing?
Very well, Andy. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for joining me. Last time we've talked, we talked about chaos in the marketplace, as well as culturally and going on in the world, and it seems to really be hitting right now. And we see that with one of our favorite assets, gold, really, and silver now, really breaking out of a range. Let's talk a little bit about that, your perspective on why that's breaking out right now, and then we'll go into the other things. So give me your 30,000 foot view now on gold and then silver.
Gold price did catch me by surprise, for sure. I have been anticipating increase in gold price for the last 2-3 years because we had a very high inflation rate and we continued to have a negative real interest rate in virtually all currencies. So for my logical, fundamentally driven mind, gold price had to go up. It did not go up for 3 years. Now it suddenly did go up within a period of a month. So it did catch me by surprise. I'm very happy it went up, but I'm also unhappy that it also is a reflection of increasing chaos in the world. The Ukrainian-Russian problem refuses to get solved. The Palestinian, Gaza, and Israeli problem refuses to get resolved. And now we have a new element in this whole war project, which is Iran. And Israel is going to retaliate. And this will could create all kinds of troubles in the future. I'm very happy, Andy, that I started paying attention to East Asia early enough. And I'm currently in Tokyo. I enjoy being in East Asia. It is an area that has managed to segregate itself out of these big chaoses. So that's where I see it. I'm very happy, but also unhappy about the gold price. This is something that we have been talking about for many years. And, you know, unfortunately, that means transfer of wealth from people who don't own hard money to those who own hard money. But this is the way the world works.
Right. So about chaos here, do you think this drive in the gold price has been, and silver price now, has primarily been driven by war and the threat of war, specifically in the Middle East and then previously Russia and Ukraine? Or do you think this is an indicator of what's going on with money printing and the Fed?
Well, I don't know what happened over the last 1 month. I have tried to understand it. I can't really wrap my head around what actually happened over the last 1 month. What was behind a sudden increase in gold price? Now, gold price should have gone up. Now, what made it happen, what triggered it is something I fail to understand. But clearly, you see, Ukraine has been destroyed. It was, you know, from whatever I have understood, it was a bad war. It gains Ukraine nothing. It has destroyed their societies. So hundreds of thousands of men, young men, have died, which means that family structure in Ukraine will worsen. You know, the same thing happened with Europe when in the First and Second World War, so many men died. Family structures fall apart. Women have to go around searching for men. They become desperate. It really leads to chaos in the society. So we have destroyed Ukraine. We have harmed Russia. We have taken China and Russia away from the Western sphere of influence completely. And so we have achieved nothing. And now we have a new problem, which is the Gaza problem. And Iran added to that. I don't know, fully understand why gold price suddenly went up. Some people say it's because the federal banks around the world were suddenly buying gold. But that doesn't sound too logical to me. They won't all at once start going to the market to start buying gold. So I hope we eventually find out. But having said all that, gold price had to go up because it hadn't kept track of the inflation that we had faced. So on inflation adjusted basis, gold price had to go up. Making gold is very expensive. It has become very expensive. So the profit margins were getting hugely compressed. So this gold price increase is going to lead to an increase of profitability in gold mines. So, you know, overall, it is something that had to happen. Why it suddenly happened, it still amazes me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good answer, because I think you certainly could point the finger to what's going on in global politics, for lack of a better word, but that's not necessarily true. You could certainly point the finger at central bank buying, but that might not necessarily be true either. I think it's one of those things not to overthink it, other than what you just said, it had to go up. And everything eventually, sooner or later, returns to its mean, right? And it correct me if I'm wrong, it just seems like gold and now silver is just really going to its mean.
Well, but at the same time, in the short term, what you mean by mean is higher price here. And gold has to go to its inflation adjusted higher price. But in the short term, I fear that gold price can face correction. So this is not really the time I'm going to chase either gold or silver. You know, this is really important to buy low and sell high. This is what one of the main pillars of successful trading. So people start going into feeding frenzy at these kind of times when things have started to move up. And that is really the time when I start selling. That's what makes me the most profit.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I would be careful. I'd be very careful here to adding any positions until you get some kind of significant correction. That just seems, well, that always happens, is people that chase are usually the ones that suffer the most. So let's talk about, again, all of this chaos here, what's going on, if we can game this out. And I don't mean game as a fun game, but just thinking of the probabilities and the possibilities. So let's start with Russia and Ukraine. Russia just, it seems like, I'm paraphrasing. I just read an article the other day where they just said, well, we've completely taken control of the country now. And now this is settled on, or will be settled on our terms. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but what's your prognosis of what's going to happen with all of that?
Well, you know, Andy, the sorry thing is that Ukrainians are suffering the most across the country. They are suffering economically. There are deaths all over the place. Russia has been able to dominate. Russia gets support from China. The Western countries are probably going to lose patience with Ukraine because their focus is going to shift to Gaza and Iran. So, you know, Ukraine got into trouble for no good reason. And I really think that the Western countries should have avoided trying to expand NATO to Ukraine. And sure, that triggered all the problems. So it's hard to take a side. I'm not a lover of,
I don't love
Putin. It's I don't like Putin, but I don't like Ukrainian Zelensky either. I think he's a comedian and he should have stayed as a comedian. He has created a horror show by giving up his comedian job. But that's what happens in politics. You take on something that you're not competent to deliver on.
Right.
So, you know, and this is an unending, you know, it's an ego issue now. Putin doesn't want to give up because if he gives up, his life will go away. He will, you know, Russians will revolt. And Zelensky can no longer give up because people will ask, what did these 100,000, 200,000 or whatever number of people who died for? All these women have flooded into Western Europe and North America. What are these women going to do? These women have become, you know, they have no families, no anchors in their lives. So these people will all complain, what did we fight all this war for? So this is not an, it's easy to start a war. It's very difficult to end it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a wise way to look at it. Well, let's talk about the Middle Eastern conflict now. It started with, again, Palestine and Israel. Now it's being bled over now with Iran and Israel, and that seems to be escalating very dangerously. And Israel just came out to say that the past 24 hours or 48 hours was an act of war. So it looks like they're going to take it to the next level. How does this play out, if you would, and what are the scenarios that you're looking at as an investor and then just as a human being?
Well, as an investor, clearly oil price is something I'm going to watch for. This can have a huge influence on the oil price because Israel will retaliate. Israel is not a country that will sit quietly on this. It will go and retaliate, and it will retaliate hard. So, right. So that's indeed going to happen. I don't know if other countries, what other countries will join in. I think from what I have seen, Saudi Arabia and UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and Oman, they increasingly want to take the course of peaceful existence. And they are becoming, from what I see, increasingly westernized. So I don't know if this will expand or not, but it can certainly have an effect on the oil price. But at the same time, Iran is a big country. They have a big capability to create chaos, and they have, taking over, hijacking a ship was creating chaos, which is from what I understand, outside the code of conduct of international trade.
Last time we talked, you're very bullish on Asia. And it's also, you mentioned off camera that there's a lot of sense of security there in Asia, and it seems to segregate itself in the best way from the rest of the world. Talk to me about that, Asia, specifically where you're at. You're looking for opportunities over there.
Well, Andy, one of the big mistakes I think the U.S. ever did was to get involved in the affairs of other countries, other societies, which are culturally very different. The United States has been, it was a force behind decolonizing the world. The world would have been a much better place had French and British continued to colonize the world. It was too early to decolonize these countries, and it was probably never wise to decolonize them in the first place. Democracy does not always work for everyone. I don't think it works for the US either. It is now leading to the worst aspect of democracy, even within the United States and Canada now. So democracy doesn't work at all. What East Asia has done a good job with is that they don't necessarily like to interfere in affairs of other countries. And that is true with China, that is true with Japan, that's true with Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan. They want to deliver on